from Directions Magazine. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, May 22nd, 2012. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Washington, D.C.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief also in our nation's capital.
2 weeks ago, the world learned about zombie-based learning, a geography teaching tool envisioned by a middle school teacher from Seattle. He used crowdfunding site Kickstarter to ask the world to support his project. He had $5,000 pledged in just 4 days. What other geography-related projects, educational and otherwise, are appearing on Kickstarter? What's getting funded? What isn't? We'll have a look at those questions and more after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Intergraph. Is your GIS at a gridlock, limited to a few, contained and locked away? GeoMedia Smart Client engages individuals and departments to collectively ignite your dynamic GIS. Geographic changes are interactively implemented across an enterprise-wide smart GIS, seamlessly integrating into configurable workflows. Users leverage advanced geospatial functionality via simple-to-use map-based tools, streamlining their processes to build a smart GIS. Discover the power of geography and build a smarter organization with GeoMedia Smart Client. Learn more at intergraph.com/geospatial.
Now, let's start out with the basic premise of Kickstarter for those who haven't ventured to the site. The idea is, if you want to fund a project or a product, or a service for that matter, you put together a little video, explain what it is you want to do, and offer people the chance to commit at different levels of funding. And typically what happens is at the lower levels, you might get a thank you or some sort of trinket. And as the monetary donations go up higher and higher, you might get an actual instance of the product or you might get more. And the way this works is unless the project is fully funded, the money is not actually taken from your credit card. So you're only committing if, in fact, enough other people commit to reach the magic number that the person who envisioned it thinks he or she needs to get the project done. So, Joe, you had a look at Kickstarter and went looking for geography-related projects. What was your overall impression of what you found?
Certainly the projects were an eclectic bunch of things from gaming to travel to art to actual mapping programs. It was there was certainly a dynamic there from all of the projects listed that there wasn't any thread of projects all of one nature or another. So it was almost hard to decipher what you thought might be funded. And from looking at the various ones that did get funded, you know, I'm not sure you could have predicted which ones would have been successful or not.
Some of my responded to, wow, that's a terrific idea. And others, I just said, that's nuts.
Yeah.
So that's part of the fun, I guess, of working with this kind of a site. What did you find that you thought was really an impressive and a great idea that you maybe would even pull money out of your own pocket to fund?
I really liked the balloon mapping kit. I thought that this type of grassroots mapping effort was done for a real particular purpose. It had immediate impact. These people were thinking outside the box. The kit that was put together, and just to explain about what it was, is that people were sending up balloons with a continuous drive camera that collected video or photographs to a certain altitude, much like the old original remote sensing of taking pictures from a balloon would be. It took minimal training, and some of this effort got started during the Gulf oil spill, where there was a no-fly zone over the area, and the only way to collect imagery was to send up a balloon.
How much was the funding that they asked for? Do you remember?
The funding goal was only $6,000, and they received over $34,000, and much of the money now that is being funded is going towards actually creating kind of a retail version of the kit that you can buy.
And the name of the organization that did this?
This was called the Open Hardware Project in Portland, Oregon.
Right, and there's been a number of sort of mapping, balloon mapping kinds of projects popping up, either ones that you build at home. It sounds like this is sort of a formal kit that uses sort of off-the-shelf kinds of products to put this thing together.
Yeah, and they've experimented with different types of balloons, balloons that were more rugged than other things. And I think they learned along the way you needed a hefty pair of gloves, a certain line that could take the rigors of sending this thing up 4,000 feet. So it was almost as if they were doing by trial and error. And this was a great way to do that because as they were able to fund the project, they were able to find more and better equipment.
So this was very much funding the research.
But initially, of course, it had a real purpose in that they needed to find some aerial imagery of where the Gulf oil spill was.
Now, the project that I found that really impressed me was the outdoor recreation map of the Bob Marshall Wilderness. And there's lots of maps and hiking maps out there. The reason I liked this one was it was two folks, and they didn't ask for money until they had already done all the hiking, collected all the data out in the field, brought it back in, started putting the data together, and then they said, wow, what we really want to do is make a really nice waterproof paper map of our data. And that's when they started asking for money. And they asked for $5,000. They got $5,700. And if you pledged, this one seemed like such a no-brainer. If you have any passion at all for the Bob Marshall Wilderness, if you gave them $25, what did you get? You got a copy of the map.
Mm-hmm.
So as they put it, you're essentially pre-ordering a map. And again, unless they got their funding, they wouldn't take your $25. If they did take your funding, then you got a map.
And that's a really neat way to do it, because you know that if it's fully funded, you're going to get something of value. You're not sort of funding the R&D effort, right? Because some of the projects that I found were hobbyists trying to fund their hobby. And that I just scratch my head and go, well, hey, if you want to do this on your own free time, go do it. But don't ask people for money.
Well, exactly. And that's why I really like this project, because they didn't say fund us to go hiking.
Yeah.
They said, we've done the hiking, we've gathered data, fund us to turn it into a map that you can use. And I saw several projects which were funded, which basically were fund us so we can travel somewhere and take pictures or make a video or make a movie. And I thought, gee, I don't want to fund your travel.
That's exactly what it was. And it's something similar to that was the Janapur Trail. There are two people who were traveling the Nagorno-Karabakh in the Azerbaijan area, and it did seem like they were funding their travel. Although these were people who were going to send you some very nice photographs if you liked nature photography and outdoor photography. It seemed like, okay, we'll give them their money to travel, but it seems like they'd contribute to the overall general geographic knowledge of an area that is very poorly understood. It looked like they were funding a great vacation, but at the same time probably contributing to the body of knowledge of an area that was in dispute politically and culturally.
Well, and that's a really good point, because there's different ways to look at investing in these kinds of projects. One is a sort of for the good of the world, mm-hmm. and the zombie-based learning project that I introduced, I think a lot of people funded that not because they were geography instructors, although I'm sure some were, but because this sounded like something the world should have.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are other projects like this one for the Bob Marshall Wilderness that you may believe that the world should have a great map of the Bob Marshall Wilderness, but also you want a copy of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Right. So it kind of works both ways. So let me share with you one of the projects that did get funded that really had me scratching my head. And this one was called Paintings for Satellites. And it's exactly what you think. It's funding somebody to paint images on the tops of buildings and the like, such that when the satellites fly over, they will appear on Google Maps and Google Earth and the like. And it was funded, the goal was $3,500, and they did in fact get a little more than that. And what was interesting in this one is if you pledged, the magic number was $1,000, and if you pledged $1,000, you would get one of these paintings. So the artist would come and paint your roof or whatever it was that you had.
Oh, I see. So yeah, so they pay, I see. So you actually would be recognized by a satellite personally.
I mean,
yeah.
Why should you fund this artist painting other people's property with who knows what?
Yeah. Well, the one silly project that I found was called 8-Bit Cities, where somebody who lives in the Manhattan area thought that, well, hey, I used to play these neat video games in the 80s that were, you know, 8-bit games. I wonder what the city would look like now as an 8-bit game. What he did was he degraded the map to an 8-bit likeness of the streets and buildings. He wanted to do more cities as an 8-bit gaming map. And I went, wow, that's not only going backwards, but this is a guy who had this crazy idea, and it's just his hobby. You know, he wanted to program and degrade maps to be an 8-bit gaming map. I don't think this one is funded yet. Thank goodness.
Well, there you go. You kind of, or you root for the ones that you believe in, and yeah, not so much. I found it very interesting to look at what didn't get funded. And I have to say, in looking over the projects that didn't, sometimes it seemed to be the timing. Like they were either too early or too late. Somebody had already done something close enough to this. So one of the ones that did not get funded that I found was something called Instaprint. And it's basically a little box that will print out images captured via Instagram based on a hashtag and if it's within a specific geographic location. So you're hanging out at the museum, you take a picture, you tag it, and if there is an Instaprint box, a print of your image will pop out of that box. It seemed kind of specialized, and I vaguely remembered hearing about this. Interestingly, the company does exist. It did not get Kickstarter funding. But it does exist, and you can rent one of these for your event. So it does seem to be a going concern, even though it was not funded here. So you're right. Some of these sort of on-the-edge kinds of things don't work. Here's another one. A free social networking platform integrating GPS maps to allow logging of travels, sharing location with friends, and quick meets. Well, that sounds like every other location-based
service
on the planet. So that was sort of an issue there. A couple of location-based games. There are some of those out in the world. They haven't been wildly popular. This could have been that's just another one of those. Where is my car? Advanced GPS-based car locator and parking ticket protector. Right, no. We know how to find our cars, I hope.
Yeah. I have to say that the whole idea of Kickstarter, while wonderful and kind of a micro venture capitalist idea, it kind of lends itself to people who have off-the-wall ideas and they're trying to see if they stick, right? And maybe that they could actually fund a second career or something like that. But more power to them if they can then make it work, I guess, right?
Did you find some things that didn't get funded, which should not have been funded?
Yeah, the Cityographer, it's a city generator of mapping software, is a board game. And so their goal is 10,000. They're at 4,400. Again, it's a way to create maps for your games. Okay, you really got to be into gaming to really want to fund this thing. And to me, it just didn't gel with me. So it's not yet funded.
Well, I have to say that while some of this is sort of niche-y and hobbyist and recreational, and I think there's certainly a place for that, I love the idea of using this for educational software or products. I think that's a great way to get entrepreneurs and educators to go get that extra pocket money, even if it's a couple of grand, to write the content up, either share it with the funders, make it available as a product for a fee, or alternatively, turn it open source and just put it out on the web for everybody to use. Now, having said that, the category that I looked at that seemed to have the largest number of projects was open source.
Mm-hmm.
And it was open source software and open source hardware. And I think this is a wonderful way to fund if you need a specific or you want to build a specific open source project and you know it's going to take you however many hours. This is a great way to ask for lots of micro contributions, have it funded, write it, put it out there with an open source license. Everybody wins.
Well, you know what it does is that it forces people who want to fund a little startup company to kind of do a very mini business plan, try to convince people to fund it. And maybe down the road it leads to bigger and better things, maybe their own corporation if they can make it sing. And it's almost a good way to test the waters to see if an idea will fly.
I think the biggest challenge right now for Kickstarter is for the projects that would be of interest to you or me or anybody else to find them. So, for example, the zombie-based learning, I did not see that until 2 days after it had been posted, and it was sent to me by somebody who saw it on Boing Boing. I had not seen it in any of the geography blogs that I read or any of the GIS technology publications that I read. But eventually it got to me, and I was really pleased that it got its funding in 4 days. So that clearly hit a nerve somewhere.
Well, it made me think that other educational projects, and so many schools are crying for funds these days, by an innovative teacher looking to fund a particular part of their curriculum. And it just made me think, wow, you could do so many other things with so many other different disciplines, math or science or whatever, in this way.
Right, and I think there's such a benefit to commit to putting it out under an open education resource license.
Yeah.
Sort of saying, I'm going to write it, and I'm going to write it for the planet. I'm much more likely to fund something like that or something open source, I think, than something that's going to be a product that's going to be sold, especially in the educational space.
But did you find anything of the projects that you looked at that you would commit $25 to right now?
I already did. I committed to zombie-based learning.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
That's all the time we have.
This podcast was brought to you by Intergraph. Complete your existing desktop GIS by engaging a larger audience with your geospatial assets. With GeoMedia Smart Client, individuals across your organization can easily create data, maps, and reports. Finally, even novice GIS users can leverage advanced GIS functionality in a smart way. To learn more, visit intergraph.com/geospatial.
If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can send us an email at editors@directionsmag.com. You can send us a tweet at directionsmag, or you can leave a comment at directionsmag.com.
And from us here at Directions, we'll be on the road for the next few weeks covering a lot of the GIS user conferences. We'll be in Sao Paulo for Mundo Geo. We'll be in Las Vegas for the Hexagon Conference and in New Orleans for Pitney Bowes Software's user conference. Tune in to Directions Mag for the latest news.
Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.